Dave Meltzer here, and I got to sit down with one of my early mentors, John Aseroff, the CEO of NeuroGym. He challenged my belief of the laws of attraction and then added to it by talking about the laws of Goya. You got to hear what that is, because he believes that exercising your brain is actually more important than exercising your body, and he calls it inner size. And of course, we talk about the lessons learned and the miracles of those lessons when we fail. Stick around to hear all of that and more when my dear friend John Aseroff's on The Playbook. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer. This is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, and I have a treat for you. This is Entrepreneur The Playbook, and I have actually one of my mentors. He probably doesn't even know it, but I have read everything about you. I've watched you because we grew up here in the same place, San Diego, but this is John Aseroff.
Hey, everyone.
Amazing, amazing entrepreneur with successes and failures. We were talking about my bankruptcy, and I just loved your reaction because I always tell people it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And we both have been through some struggles, but currently you're working on what I think is something extraordinary, something I'm so interested in, because I believe in the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind. Three different things. And I'm dying to get your perspective on your brain-a-thon, on your new book, sure. Inner Size. Where should we start?
Ah, what a great question. I think maybe we start with failure is normal, and it's part of every athlete, musician, entrepreneur's journey. And you better get used to that relationship, because there's no escaping it. And so, you know, one of the first things that I learned at a thankfully enough, a young age through my mentors was failure is just feedback, and separate you as a human being from what you've tried that fails. So don't connect if you fail at things that there's something wrong with you. So I was fortunate that, you know, I've failed and I've always failed forward. And I said, what's the lesson? What did I learn? And it just made me better. So I've had, you know, a lot of great opportunities for learning.
Yeah, I love the, you know, there's no setbacks, there's only setups. And I love your attitude. It's interesting because you were in the movie The Secret. That's where I was first exposed to you, a guy in Del Mar, and manifested the home of his dreams. And I love that, you know, mass appeal. But you said something interesting, because I believe accountability has two questions that is directly related to this failure philosophy. It's one, what did I do to attract this into my life, and what am I supposed to learn from it? And that has always kind of reduced the ego side of dealing with the fact that I was wrong. Because what failure means is you were wrong about something, and now you want to be right, so you have to learn. What do you feel about the attraction side of accountability, that you've attracted this to yourself, and what am I supposed to learn? Is that something you believe in as well?
Sure. So something you talked about just a little bit earlier, and, you know, is the conscious, subconscious, unconscious. And I have a different philosophy around this thing called attraction. So attraction at the quantum level of energy, when you take a negative, it doesn't attract a positive. Right? Or when you take if you take a negative, you put it next to a negative, it actually attracts. When you take a negative and a positive, it actually repels. Right? So think about what happens when you take a magnet.
Yeah.
Right? It actually repels. But more importantly, whenever you're looking to grow spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, there's going to be lessons involved. And if you don't learn the lesson, you're going to repeat it. That's number one. But more importantly, when you're doing things on planet Earth in the physical realm, you have to do the right things in the right order at the right time, and nature doesn't care about whether you make mistakes or not. You are going to pay the consequences of those mistakes. And so when we make errors in our judgment, or we make errors in our timing, or we make errors in our tactics, we pay the consequences. And that's just part of the game. And I personally believe that we're playing in a precision model game. And so there's nothing that's out of order in the universe. So if nothing's out of order, my job is to be in resonance with the order that already exists. And that is, for me, resonance or chaos. So I don't look at it as attraction. I don't think that we attract you know, stuff to us the way most people think about it.
Is that resonance, though, because, you know, I believe we live in an energetic world. Is the resonance based on a frequency or a vibration?
Yeah. So if you sit at the piano and you hit the A440 key, chances are that a chandelier that's in resonance with that is going to start vibrating, even though there's no strings between the two. So through the medium of air, anything that's in resonance is in this attractive state or in this coherence state. By the same token, if you hit the A330 key, you're not going to hit that chandelier frequency. And the same is true with the tuning fork. Right? So if you have a tuning fork and you hit a certain key, the tuning fork will start to vibrate. That's resonance. A lot of people think, well, that's attraction. No, it's not attraction. It doesn't work that way from all the research that I have mustered. So my job, and we get into some of the brain stuff, is if you think about a radio. If you turn on a radio and you want to hear if you want to hear classical music, you might go to 95.5. And it tunes into a frequency that's already here. It's not attracting it. It's already here. If you don't like classical music, you go to 103.3 and you have punk rock. It's already here. So how do we use that as a corollary relationship to, if my brain is the world's most sophisticated electromagnetic switching station, is it possible that I can tune into frequencies of what's already here? And the answer is yes, that's resonance. And so we can tune in on a spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical level. And when you create that coherence, then all of a sudden you start to be in the awareness of everything that's already here that you weren't in coherence with before. And people say, well, I must be attracting it. No, it was already here.
Right, it's allowance. And I tell people all the time, when you say you're in your own way, it's really your brain isn't allowing things to happen.
Correct.
And so you wrote a book, Inner Size. Right.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, I've heard you talk about it. It's coming out. I'm excited. I'm going to get to read it over the holiday weekend. But in the book, these Inner Sizes are about training your brain.
Correct.
To set the frequency to allow things to happen. Because, you know, just like people, they try to make it happen. I believe the laws of attraction have that same attribute. You're still trying to make things happen by the laws of attraction. Instead of just allow, I believe everything already exists. There's more than enough of everything for everyone. It's my job to get out of my own way.
Correct.
And allow it to happen.
And to tweak. Yeah, to tweak your access, which is a great word. When I first learned about the law of attraction, I was 19 years old. But I was taught that with the law of attraction also is the law of Goya. And nobody talks about the law of Goya. I've been around.
Is that Christian people?
No. No, but the law of Goya is the get off your ass law.
My grandma says, don't marry a Jewish girl. That was the law of Goya.
The law of Goya, right.
Sorry.
No, the law of Goya is the get off your ass law. Right. And so a lot of people who think about this law of attraction stuff is, you know, sit there like a monk, you know, and meditate and visualize and belief and write your goals down. And that's going to happen for you. And it's bullshit. It's just raw bullshit.
Thank you.
I don't have any friends, zero, that don't bust their ass in pursuit of what they want, in addition to being in resonance with it and attracting it. They are busting their ass every day, every week, every month, every quarter, every year, ups and downs, highs and lows, things that work, things that don't, and they keep moving forward to make it happen. And they find along the way, they get some lucky breaks.
Right. And now you talk about redundancy. I talk about, and I think I might've stole part of this from you, to be honest. It was, I believe happiness was the enjoyment of the consistent everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of your potential. And you have kind of this redundant philosophy about the brain, right? About doing things consistently. Is that,
well,
how does consistently work into taking things from physical to mental to spiritual?
Sure. So let's leave the spiritual aside for just a moment. But from a brain perspective, if you think about this, what beliefs were you or anybody that is watching right now born with? Tell me one belief of what you were born with.
A scarce belief. Like, I just believe.
You weren't born with that.
Oh, that I was born with.
Born with.
belief of breathing? I
don't know. No, there was nothing. None, right? Zero. Not
That's
one belief.
Point. Right.
Right? Not one perspective. Not one of a habit. None of that. You didn't know what language you were going to speak to. You didn't know who your parents were. You didn't know what a hand is or a foot was or a nose was, what those
time,
noises were.
Time,
you had no idea.
Fear.
You were born with just pure potentiality. So how did you learn how to eat? Did somebody just give you food and a fork and a spoon and say, hey, baby, eat? You know, you'd be hungry and you'd be starved. And so you learn by watching, by listening, by participating, okay, through a repetitious pattern of learning that then became an automatic pattern that you don't have to think about today. You learned how to eat that way, how to walk that way, how to run that way, how to read that way, how to write that way, how to speak that way. And it came about because there was bite-sized chunks that were put together through spaced repetition until a conscious, hard effort became an unconscious, habitual pattern that you don't have to think about. So when we talk about the brain, and we talk about how did you learn your beliefs? You learned your beliefs from your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, your friends, your school, your teachers, television, the books, your experiences, formulated these neural patterns over time that became part of your automatic self or something known as the default mode network that runs all of your day-to-day programming and behaviors. So when we talk about the brain, we have limiting beliefs, fears, self-esteem issues, self-doubts, lack of confidence, lack of certainty, fear of disappointing ourselves. Those are all patterns that are automatic in the brain that if you want to get rid of those, you actually cannot get rid of them because the pattern's already in your brain. But what you can do is use the exact same process that created the pattern to create a new, more empowering one that then becomes the default network. It's not necessarily over it, but it's adjacent to it.
Okay.
So our brain works by connecting associations, mm-hmm. right? So we have a massive amount of associations. And so in every area of our life about how much we're worth, what our self-esteem is, what our leadership skills are, what our sexual abilities are, or anything, we've developed these patterns. And so what happens is most adults don't know how to recognize the patterns that are disempowering them. They don't know how to create new empowering patterns and habits that will empower them in a methodical, organized way. And that's what I have done with my company, NeuroGym, and what we've done with InnerSizes. Here is a way to utilize your brain better. And here's a bit of the user's manual for the most powerful tool in the known universe that we've never been given the toolbook for, or the manual for.
And that's what I love about NeuroGym, and you do, over a million people have participated in the Brainathon.
Yeah.
You got the seventh one coming up,
seventh
October
one coming
6th,
up. Yeah.
Which I can't wait for. But it's interesting because I come from the sports background, and everybody talks about the body, right? Nutrition, the body. And all I kept thinking, and maybe I had my own projected insecurity and belief system of, because I wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback like my business partner, that I would have sound silly saying, how come we don't spend as much time on the brain?
Well, I think
because it is like a muscle, right? You got to work
is a muscle.
It out, right?
It's not that it's like a muscle. Your brain has neuromuscles.
Okay.
Right. So if you think about, you know, we have, if we want to build our bicep muscle or our chest or our shoulders or our legs, we go to the gym, we do exercises, or we go and hike, or run, or bike, or walk, or do whatever it is. Well, what do you do to strengthen your confidence muscle? What do you do to strengthen your self-esteem muscle? What do you do to strengthen your tenacity or resolve muscle? What do you do to strengthen any of your core neuromuscles like awareness? How do you strengthen your awareness? How do you strengthen your ability to focus and stay laser disciplined on an achievement of a goal? These are all neuromuscles that you can strengthen. But nobody, up until now, has come up with, here are the inner sizes for your neuromuscles instead of the exercises for your physical muscles until NeuroGym and InnerSizes.
It's phenomenal. People ask me all the time, you know, we both do a lot of coaching of people, and they want to know about habits, you know, which are formed in this neural pathways and other things that you work with. And I try to say, first, let's work on creating the habit of how to effectively create a habit. And when I think and hear and read about you, that's
you're the first person that I know, and that's why you're going to be extraordinarily successful, is that that's truly what you're doing. Is you're, you just listed out all these habits, including awareness, which I think is the most powerful of all habits, because I want to know whether to go left or right to stop all fights between me and my wife. But honestly, like, that's truly like what the core of what you're doing is, how do I create the, whether it's neural pathways or habits that I want? Right,
because the constructive ones,
right,
that inspire me, motivate me, motivate me towards the goals and dreams I want, and help others along the way. And you know, I can give people the first inner size to get the brain just to be in a relaxed state and open to receptivity, and it's called Take Six, Calm the Circuits. So the first inner size that you teach anybody, it's kind of like learning the alphabet first. So Take Six, Calm the Circuits. There's three foundational inner sides we teach in the book. There's many more. Yeah. But the first one is just to deactivate the stress reactive center in the brain. And you do that through six deep breaths in 10-second increments. So you take a deep breath in through your nose. And then as you blow out, pretend you're blowing out through a straw. So all of your energy is towards that focus, right? So 3, 2, 1. You do that 6 times, and we can see in brain scan images that the stress response center lowers and in many cases deactivates, which throws blood back to the left prefrontal cortex. Your state of awareness increases, and then you can move to inner size number 2, which is called AIA, A-I-A, which is now in a calm, relaxed state. Now, the first A stands for awareness of my thoughts, emotions, feelings, sensations, and what have been my behaviors for, let's say, the last 5 minutes or hour. Awareness without shame, blame, guilt, justification, or judgment. Pure awareness. Calm state. Then what is my intention? Well, my intention is to be happy. I've been feeling sad. My intention is to be happy. My intention is to be focused, not scattered. Great. Let me give myself one or two intentions. Then the next A stands for what's one action to move me towards that. So if your intention is to be happy, why not look up and smile? Just look up and smile, because when you look up and smile, you release the neurochemistry of happiness, and you cannot look up and be angry, sad, mad, disappointed. You cannot. And if you look up and smile, we are wired to look up to heaven, let's say, and be hopeful. And we are wired that when we smile, the neurochemistry of happiness is firing through our bloodstream. Wow. And so if you just do inner size number 1 and 2, now you get awareness and you calm down the circuits. And then if you learn inner size number 3, it's called actors. It's called actors. I'm losing inner size number 3.
Focus.
It is called, it'll come back to me in just a moment. But the third inner size is around, it's an actor's studio exercise. Basically, it's an inner size. So any actor in the world can switch from being happy or sad or mad or disappointed or any modality of physiology that you want them to take on, they can command it on command.
Right.
Right? And so if somebody's unhappy, could you teach yourself to be happy in less than 3 seconds? And the answer is yes, if you chose to.
So control of emotions.
Yeah. And so when we focus on the core emotions people have of happiness, sadness, shame, disgust, contempt, love, we can learn how to switch between those on any given moment. But most people, what happens, they get caught up in this emotion, energy in motion, that's negative or disempowering, and then they think about how they feel, and they feel what they're thinking about, and they keep perpetuating the same pattern. And that's not where it ends. And this is where the problem lays, is if you do that on a regular basis, your brain says, since you're repeating this, let me just make this a habit. And I'll just create that on command for you. So you're in that state more frequently. And then they don't know how to interrupt that pattern and create a new empowered state. So that's some of the work that we've done on understand what's going on in there.
So we're going to do this again, because this show is way too short for John Assaroff. It's too small of a stadium for you. But I have to get to this. So we have the Brainathon on October 6th. We have the launch of Inner Size. You're an extraordinary business life coach and entrepreneur. you know, this is for entrepreneurs. And so
for entrepreneurs,
you know, as the last question, I want to know, with everything that you know and have experienced, what best piece of advice would you give to someone if they say, look, I want your golden nugget, John, what would that be for me and everyone else?
Oh, I mean, there's just so many. I think the golden nugget specifically for entrepreneurs is something that I was taught 37 years ago by my mentor, who was a very successful entrepreneur. And he said, take 1 hour a day to level up your skills. He says, when you do 1 hour a day to level up your skills, whether it's your mental skills, emotional skills, strategic skills, whatever it is, but 1 hour a day after 365 days is 9 40-hour weeks that you will be ahead of anybody who isn't doing that. So 1 year, it's 9 40-hour weeks, nine of them. That's 2.5 months. Do that for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you will become an expert and you will make millions of dollars. You'll be happy. You'll be not because of the millions of dollars. You'll be able to live the lifestyle of your dreams because of who you've become by upgrading your knowledge and skills and abilities by just 1 hour a day.
I love that. I love you. And I love the fact, one thing that I believe you've got to understand time and the beating people with math. I do it all the time with my advice, right? Do it every day, and you're going to get there. Well, we're going to do this again.
Let's do it again.
I just want to tell you that I'm so grateful for all the help that you've given me throughout the years. That I know part of your goal is to empower others,
You got it.
And I really have to attribute a lot of my success and all the people we have impacted to you and ideas that I've shared and stolen or whatever you want to call it. But
keep
I appreciate the empowerment. And one of my heroes, John Assaroff, this is Entrepreneur, The Playbook.
Thank you so much for joining me on The Playbook. What a great episode. Remember to subscribe, leave a review or suggestions or requests. I'd love them, keep them coming, and join me every Tuesday.